Turn with me, if you would, back to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. A brother very kindly bought me lunch this week. And I wasn't expecting that. And as I was very much thanking him for it, he said, "Oh, it's better to be the giver." That's what he said. "Oh, it's better to be the giver." When he said that, it made me think of how our Lord said that very thing. It's exactly what our Lord said. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. This is the Apostle Paul speaking right here. And he said, "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." How He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. He said, He Himself said, it is a greater blessing to be the giver than to be the receiver. The giver, He said, is truly more so the blessed one. I got to thinking about that. I got back to my study and I started thinking about that. And I believe the Lord has allowed me to enter into something I've never entered into before. Maybe I should say never entered into this degree. I've entered into this to a small degree. But I don't believe I've ever entered in to this degree. I'm going to get straight to the point. I'm going to tell you what it is. Considering all that He gave. Considering all that He gave in order to save me. In order to save us. Just getting a hold for just a moment of everything He gave in order to save us. Considering the fact that He was the giver. Just a moment ago we sang, "'Tis done, the great transaction's done." And in that transaction, just considering the fact that He alone was the giver. I'd like for us to look tonight at the blessed man. The, capital T, capital H, capital E, the blessed man. And I want us to see this in light of, I want us to see this in comparison to the blessing of receiving. He didn't say that receiving was not a blessing. He didn't say that. When I was told the other day at lunch, "You owe nothing. You owe absolutely nothing. It's paid. It's all paid in full. Someone else paid your debt. Someone else has redeemed everything that was given to you. The debt is settled. All parties are satisfied. You're free to go. You can walk right out that door. You're free to go." When that notification came to me, I felt blessed. I really did. I felt
thankful.
Really? It's taken care of. I felt happy. I felt that that was a joyful announcement. Well, that's exactly what we feel every time we hear the announcement of the blessed gospel. That's exactly what we feel. This glorious news of the great debt that Christ has already paid for us. That's the message. It's paid. It's taken care of. It's an indescribable debt. It's an impossible debt. One that we could never pay, and the reason is because nothing could wash away our sins but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You ever been in a situation where you had to pay, been to a restaurant? I was at a gas station one time, and I pumped my gas and then realized I forgot my wallet at home. Couldn't pay. I felt so bad having to walk in there. I thought, I hope you can trust me. I don't know what you want me to. I hope you're okay with letting me leave. I hope you're okay with letting me be free to go right now so I can come back and pay you. But this is an impossible debt that when God reveals it, God's people see nothing could wash away my sin and pay this debt but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And every time that we hear that He willingly gave that blood, His own precious blood, to just completely pay our debt in full. If you want to get to the heart of the gospel, here's what it is. He paid it all in full. That's it. He shed His blood. He paid the full debt. And it's done. 'Tis done. The great transaction's done. Every time we hear of our complete, total, you are free to go payment in the blood of the Lord Jesus, this is what we think. Every time we get a hold of it, this is what we think. I'm a blessed person. Oh, I'm a blessed person. We are blessed people, aren't we? We are blessed people. Look with me at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That's a blessed man, and that's a blessed woman. Don't turn, but Psalm 65, verse 4 says, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. That is a blessed man and a blessed woman, chosen of the Father, redeemed by the Son, called by the Spirit. That's a blessed man or woman. That is a blessed man or woman. Matthew 5 says, blessed are the poor in spirit. If God ever makes a man poor over his sin, blessed are the poor in spirit. He said, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He said, blessed are they that mourn over their sin. People mourn over all kinds of things. We have a very mourning world, crying, sorrowful world. But I mean truly over my sin against you. Blessed are they that mourn. They shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, those who have been humbled before God. This is one thing that we can absolutely say about the world we live in is proud. It's a proud world. And all of us in our flesh are right there with it. But God in mercy, when He humbles a man before Him and makes him meek, He said, "Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the new earth." He said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after the righteousness of Christ. They are the ones who are going to be filled." Blessed. We're a blessed people. We are a blessed people. I love this right here. Don't turn. But Revelation 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy." Just having the Word of God revealed to us. Just able to read it in a way that God has opened our eyes to see Christ in it. Just to hear a man preach it to me. Every time I hear a man preach it to me, I think, "Oh, I'm so blessed to hear this." We are blessed for everything that we have received at the hand of our God. We're blessed. But I said all that to say this. But the holy and true God, who cannot lie, has said, as great as the blessing of receiving is, it is such a great blessing. But as great as the blessing of receiving is, He said, it is more blessed to be the giver than to be the receiver. Yes, it's true. In everything He's done for us, we've been blessed. Everything. We have been blessed. But He's saying, as great as your blessing has been to be the receiver of salvation, infinitely greater has it been my blessing to be the giver of your salvation. Infinitely greater. He said, the blessing's all mine. The blessing has been all mine. Now let's see if the Lord will allow us to enter into this. Understanding something of the blessing that we have received because of our salvation. We can enter into the fact that we feel so blessed to have received salvation. The blessing that we've received in knowing and hearing of our salvation. We can enter into that to some degree. Let's see if the Lord will allow us to enter into something of the blessing that Christ received in our salvation. His blessing in saving us. Let's see if the Lord will reveal to us that at the end of this whole transaction, out of all the parties involved, He ended up being the most blessed man. Maybe the Lord will open up His heart to us here. That's our heart's cry. We're so blessed. Maybe the Lord will open up His heart to us. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him." "Who for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That blesses my heart so much. I feel so blessed because of that. Why did he do it? You want to know, we're saying, why me? Why would he do that? Why would he save us? Why would he condescend? Why would he leave glory? Why would he make himself to be that? Why would he do that? Why did he do that? He did it for the joy of doing it. That's why he did it. He did it because nothing could have brought him greater joy than doing that right there. You know, when it says he delights to show mercy, what that means is he enjoys it. It's what he likes to do. And he did this right here because nothing could have brought him greater joy than to do that right there. Look with me at Jude, the book of Jude. There's only one chapter just before Revelation. Jude, verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Now unto him that is able to with exceeding joy. We're always thinking about our joy in this. I am. We are. We are always, when we think about this, think about the cross, and we think about because of the cross and our entering into glory, and we're always thinking about our joy because of this. But have we ever really entered into His joy because of this? Have we ever really entered into His joy because of our redemption? His joy because of how we now stand in Him. His joy because He is able to keep us from falling. He loves us. The Father loves us, has pity on us and compassion on us as a father to a child. And He's able. If I was able, I would keep my children from falling. And I would present them faultless, but I'm not able. But have we ever really entered in to how much joy He has over the fact that He is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of the glory of His Father? He says, Father, look what I've done. Look how clean they are. Just look at them. Look how clean they are. Just look at how spotless and washed they are. Look at the image they've been conformed into. Oh, Heavenly Father, it gives me great pleasure to present them to You. It blesses my heart. It's the blessing of my heart. Look with me at Luke 15. Luke 15, verse 1 says, Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And he spake this parable unto them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." I've always thought of heaven right there as meaning the angels. Everything in heaven. But do you know it doesn't say the angels? It doesn't say everything in heaven. It says heaven. You know what heaven is? Christ. Christ is heaven. And he said, joy is in heaven. Joy is in Christ over every one of his lost sheep that he saves. In John 17, he said, "Father, I want them to be with me where I am. That's why I finished the work you gave me to do. That's the reason why. That's why I bore the sin. That's why I endured the cross. That's why I gave myself as their substitute." Turn over to Luke 22. May the Lord let us enter into this. May He truly let us enter this. Enter into this. Luke 22, verse 14. "And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, 'With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer.'" With desire, the margin says, "I have heartily desired." I have in my heart desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He said, "Being here is the blessing of my heart. Being here right now is the culmination moment of my heart's desire." It was all pointing to this. That's what he was saying. It was all pointing. That's the last Passover. That was the last time the Passover was held. He said, "I told Moses to institute a Passover lamb for the sole purpose of picturing this. And with desire, I desire to do this for you." That's what he was telling them. "It's my great blessing to be your lamb slain." He said, "As great of a blessing as it is to receive salvation," it is a blessing. It truly is. But he said, "infinitely greater is the blessing of being able to give you salvation. It is more blessed to give than to receive." Now, knowing that, do we not say in response with great joy, "Amen, the blessing belongs to you. All the blessing belongs to you." Is it not our great blessing to be able to say, "All the blessing goes to you. We want you to have all the blessing. Thank God He blessed you above every other blessing. Thank God. Thank God for blessing Jesus Christ, the God-man, above every other sinful man on this earth. We are blessed, but not like Him. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, He is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And all of God's people cry, Amen. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 9, verse 5, Christ is over all, God blessed forever. And all of God's people cry, Amen. Amen. All the blessing be unto Him. Let's close with Revelation 5. Turn with me over to Revelation 5, and we'll close with this. Revelation 5, verse 1 says, And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the sea and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Because he was the giver, blessed be the name of the Lord. All praise to Him who reigns above in majesty supreme, who gave His Son for man to die, that He might man redeem. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said it's more blessed to give than to receive. But we sure are thankful for what we have received, aren't we? We sure are thankful. All blessing be to Him for blessing us. All right, let's all stand together.